The prophet Micah foretold the birthplace of the Christ. The prophet Isaiah, many years earlier, spoke of how the Christ would be conceived and what he would do. In fulfillment of the word that was delivered to him, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and that he would be called Emmanuel. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to Mary. This is the account of that visit.
But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 installed as rulers.
The prophet Micah foretold the birthplace of the Christ. The prophet Isaiah, many years earlier, spoke of how the Christ would be conceived and what he would do. In fulfillment of the word that was delivered to him, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and that he would be called Emmanuel. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to Mary. This is the account of that visit.
In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
This is the account of the birth of Jesus, the child of promise, the one who came to save us from our sin and to bring the kingdom of God close to hand to all who believe. Here again, the story of Christmas Day.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
The shepherds and angels. At the time of the birth, heaven and earth could not keep still. The angels of God proclaimed the birth as the stars danced in the sky. The word they shared with the poor and the humble. the very ones who needed it then still need now, to hear the angel song. It was the word that Mary would treasure, and all after her who have the ears to hear it.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known that it had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Dedication of Jesus. Jesus was born the child of God, but he was also born under the law of God, the law that Mary and Joseph loved and kept. So it was the 8 days after his birth, he was circumcised to proclaim that he was a child of the covenant God had made with Israel. Then, on the 40th day after his birth, he was taken to Jerusalem by Mary and Joseph, so that the laws concerning purification before God might be fulfilled. While they were there, the prophet Anna saw the infant Jesus and, moved by God's Spirit, proclaimed that he was the one who was sent by God to redeem his people. God touched not only Anna at that time, he also fulfilled a promise that he made to the man by the name of Simon, the promise that he would see the Savior of all the world before he died. This is what occurred.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in their child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Lord, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel."
This is a story called Why the Bells Chimed. It was written by Raymond MacDonald Alden. It's from his collection of stories called Why the Chimes Rang and Other Stories. And you can find it all over the internet. There are recordings of people reading it to children. There's an old recording from a radio broadcast. It's very scratchy in the back, but there's organ accompaniment. It's interesting. I was thinking of just reading it to you, but I think I'm just going to give you my own paraphrase. Yeah. Adele is nodding. Yeah, that's a good idea. We like that. Okay. So once upon a time, in a land that people very infrequently visit anymore, there was a city a very great, prosperous city. Stone roads built on a hilltop. There was lots of wealth there, merchants and prosperity, as I said, noble people, and it was a very beautiful city. And in the center of this city, right, the city was on the top of a hill. And then in the center, like on top of the hill, was a church, a magnificent church that they had built. So the city is all surrounded the church, and there was a church on the very top of the hill. It as well, very beautiful. Gothic, right? Granite and, you know, tall spires and stained glass sparkling windows and all kinds of arches and passageways, just very magnificent and huge. But the striking feature of this church was its bell tower. The bell tower was so big that the church itself could fit inside the bell tower. This bell tower was so tall that you couldn't actually see the top, except maybe on a very, very clear day. And even then, you were probably lying if you said you could see the top, because it was so tall. And at the top of this tower, were bells, chimes. And no one had heard these chimes in many, many years. There was one old man in the town who said that his grandmother, when she was a little girl, had said that she had heard them at some point as a small child. But no one living had heard these chimes ring for such a long time. And as we know, when things that used to happen don't happen anymore, all kinds of folklore and legends develop around them. And so it was the same with these chimes, and it became the knowledge, the folklore of the city, that the reason these chimes, you know, these chimes were so celestial, so high up, that only the angels could ring them, right? And they could only be rung on special occasions, Christmas Eve, Easter, my birthday. So they hadn't been heard, and they couldn't be rung by humans. They weren't to be rung just by humans. And they started to believe that what was happening was that these bells were not ringing is because when people were bringing their offerings, they weren't bringing their offerings from their hearts. They weren't bringing something as a sacrifice, you know, to share with God, with the world, with the Christ child. Instead, they were bringing it to show everybody else. Marilyn, do you see what I'm bringing to the altar right now? Isn't that something? It's pretty good, right? You see my jacket? You know, it was that kind of thing. And so these bells had not been heard for this very, very long time. Christmas Eve is approaching in this town at this time. And outside of this city, a couple miles away, is a small village and where two boys live, two brothers, Pedro and his little brother. We don't know the little brother's name, so we're just going to call him little brother. So Pedro and little brother have, of course, heard about this magnificent church in this town, and they know that today is Christmas Eve, and there'll be a big, wonderful service there. They don't know anything about the legends of the bells. They just know that they want to go and see this show, right? See the lights and all the people. So they come up with this secret plan to sneak out in the afternoon and make the trek from their small town to the city so they can go and witness the Christmas Eve service in this magnificent church. So that's what they do. They pack a few things, you know, some bread and, I don't know, cheese, and they trek off. It's very cold, and they walk these miles in the cold, frozen ground, right? The snow is on the ground, and they make it. Evening comes, it starts to get a little darker, and they're starting to approach the walls of the city, the main gate. And as they're approaching, they see something laying in the snow over to the side. So they go over, and it turns out it's an old woman. And this old woman has fainted. She's laying in the snow, and if they leave her, she'll die. So they go over, and Pedro tries to rouse her, you know, slapping her hands a little, shaking her. She's alive, but she can't be roused. So he kneels beside her and he puts his arm around her. He's trying to warm her up, you know, rubbing her arms and stuff. And he looks at the little brother and says, "Little brother, I need you to do something for me. I need you, when you go to the service, to listen for the two of us, because I'm going to stay here with her. If we leave her, she won't survive. So I'm going to stay here and try to keep her warm, and maybe I can get her to eat some of this bread that I have left over. But you go to the service, because there's no reason why we should both miss it. And you go and, you know, report back to me and remember where I am so that you can get help when it's over and someone can come back and, you know, help this lady. And also, when you go, take this little silver coin that I have, and give that to the offering. You know, sometime when it's not obtrusive, don't make a spectacle. Just go up and when there's a chance to lay it there without anybody seeing." And little brother was like, but Pedro, this was our plan. We were going to do this together. We were going to go to the service. What about you?" "Don't worry about me, little brother." And he's winking back tears, kind of like I am right now, "because I have to stay here. It's important to stay here." Okay. So he leaves. And little brother makes his way through the city streets, up the hill to the church, and finds himself a quiet corner to sit and watch. And he's amazed at what he sees, you know, all these rich people in their fine clothes, the lights, the candles, the music, the choir singing, right? Everything is just so beautiful. And to his young mind, it's heaven. So the point comes in the service for the procession to bring the offerings up to the altar. So there are all these wealthy people in this town who are bringing up, and there's the president of the largest bank in the town comes up, and he has a trunk of gold that is so large and so heavy that he can't carry it. It's on a wagon, and he needs, you know, people to, you know, his employees to help him drag this wagon up so he can present that. And then another man, an author, has been working on a book for years. It's his masterpiece. He's put everything into this book, and he's written this book, and it's finally finished. And he comes up, this well-known author, this magnum opus of his, and he comes and he presents that, lays that on the altar. People are looking and listening. Will the bells chime? Will the bells chime? And the bells are silent. And more people are coming up, bringing their impressive gifts. A beautiful young noble woman approaches the altar. She's carrying a painting by a famous painter in the city, and she comes up and she lays that on the altar, but nothing. Finally, the king is there, and he rises, and he walks slowly up the aisle, and he's looking left and right, because he knows what he has will cause these bells to chime. And he gets up to the altar, and he kneels, and he removes his crown, and he lays his crown on the altar. And he hears the gasp from the crowd, and he kneels there for a moment, waiting, knowing that the bells are going to chime, and there's silence. So he gets up and returns, avoiding the eyes of the crowd behind him, on the sides of him. And finally, everyone has brought up their offerings, and the bells have not chimed. So of course, you know, jadedness sets in, and the people start to be like, "Well, you know, I knew they weren't going to ring. You know, that's just an old tale that grandma used to tell us. I didn't think they were going to ring. It's not going to happen. Those bells don't work. You know what I mean, Adele? You didn't believe they were going to ring, did you?" Yeah. And then suddenly, the organist, their organ works. The organist starts to play the recessional for everyone to go out. So the people get up and they start to put on their coats and, you know, gather up their finery, their furs, right? And so that they can go to their families and their feasts. And the organist just stops, kind of like we did, right? There was no rumbling over here, but the organist just stops. The people recognize that there's silence, and then they hear it. High, high up in the tower, they hear this ethereal, celestial sound of these bells coming down through the tower and wafting out over the crowd. And they thought, what could that be? What could possibly have caused, you know, have brought about the chiming of the bells. And they, you know, they turn around and they look. And they're up on the altar just in time. They catch, not catch like they're going to catch him, but, you know, they see little brother leaving from the altar where he has just left the silver coin. Amen.